chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. A very straightforward lesson tonight, or message tonight. And it's basically the man with the 20-20 vision. And you see the colon in there. So we're going to look at Acts 20-20. Folks, every New Testament church needs to do what Acts 20-20 says. And so we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21. This is Paul saying goodbye on his way to Jerusalem for the last time to the elders at Ephesus. He actually calls them down and they meet at Miletum. And then he gets on a ship and then he goes away. But he wants to encourage them. You know, we support a lot of missionaries. And I'm just encouraged by the emails and the texts that I get from our missionaries, especially Mike Napper. He just sends me pictures of what's going on over there. And we're helping make that possible through our faithful giving, through Faith Promise. And, you know, the big thing is that we're into the church planting business. Missionaries that, you know, candidate here are church planting missionaries, or they are in church plants. They're helping out with that. That's what it's all about. And it's about equipping national pastors. And so Paul is on his way back, on his way to Jerusalem. Everywhere he goes, he's being told that problems are coming. That he's going to be bound, he's going to be thrown in prison, and it doesn't stop him from doing what he knows God wants him to do. And folks, we need to have, just like Christ who set his face like flint to Jerusalem, we need to do what God wants us to do. Are we willing to do it whatever the cost? Are we willing to do it wherever he tells us to go? Are we willing to do it whenever he tells us to go? You know, anyone who put their hand to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at our passage tonight, verses 17 through 21 of Acts chapter 20. And it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, what after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Think about this. Paul had a reputation. They knew what Paul was all about. Do people know what you're all about? Do you have a spiritual reputation that people say, there's a woman of God. There's a man of God. There's a child of God. They are doing the right thing. There's something different about them. Paul says, look. He says, you know how I came to you. You know what my life is about. He's transparent. We hear about transparency all day long. Folks, a Christian should be transparent. It's just about Jesus. That's really what it's all about. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. There's a lot of things that happened in Ephesus. There was a lot of things that happened in Galatia. There were a lot of things that happened all in that area there where Paul was persecuted. And he says, and how I've kept back nothing. He was sold out. Everything he had was to get the gospel to him that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. There's the point. We need to be witnesses publicly. We need to be witnesses house to house. I'm so encouraged by the people who come out on the first Saturday of the month and we pass out flyers. Folks, we pass out 250, 300 flyers. We cover an entire neighborhood. Sometimes we get to speak to people. That's the house to house part. This is the public part. But it's just not here. It's just on a certain day. It's all of our lives should be like this. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when they came down to Miletus, which was on the coast, Paul's getting ready to sail. They had a meeting. And it was a Christ-centered meeting. Folks, what we do in church should be Christ-centered. Our ministry should be Christ-centered. Our decisions need to be Christ-centered. Everything should be based on the bringing glory to God and bringing souls to Him. See, Paul called all the elders of the Ephesian church together. It's not a meeting to sit back and take me. How many of you been in business meetings or other meetings where it was just, yah, 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 and you just wanted to get rid of it? You know, do our business. We pray to God and we do our business and we move on. It's not about pontificating. It's not about showing your position on things. It's about discussing things for the glory of God. This was not a meeting to take minutes and to waste hours of time. This was a meeting about ministry. And folks, that's what we need to have, is we need to have a yearning for ministry. The purpose of this meeting was to focus on what Paul's heart was all about. And what our heart should be all about is about soul winning. That's what it's all about. That's the whole purpose the church exists, is to win souls. It was a meeting to look back and to prepare for the future. If you are washed in the blood, then you know that God loves you. God loves all of us, but we truly know once we get saved the extent of His love. Paul prays to the Ephesian church. He says, I want you all to understand the height and the depth of His love, the reach of His love. Folks, we need to understand that. He wanted these elders to remember and return to their mission. This is about the time around AD 58. Remember that number. Remember that number. This is around AD 58 as far as the calendar and the year was concerned. He reminded them of his vision and motivation for ministry. And Paul was one who had the 2020 vision. You know, 2020 vision is normal, or we call that what? Perfect vision. Folks, we need to have perfect vision to God. We need to have perfect vision of His Word. We need to have perfect vision of His will. We need to have perfect vision of His mission. And so tonight I want to look at several things about Paul's vision. Here's a man that had probably very poor eyesight. And you know, it's not about your physical vision, it's about your spiritual vision. You could be as blind as bats aren't really that blind. But you can be blind physically, but have great spiritual insight for God. Look at Fanny Crosby. Look at others that are totally blind, yet they did great, great things. So Paul had, first of all, a tender vision. Folks, we cannot be soul winners unless we have compassion. Unless we have this tender vision. He basically says here in verse 19, he says, look, I've served you with many tears. With many tears. See, Paul was moved by the needs of the people. Sound like someone else, you know? Like Jesus? Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus had tears. Remember in John? Okay, I bet you all know one verse in the Bible. It's John 11:35. You know what that verse says? It's two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Because Lazarus had died, and Mary and Martha and all the other Jews, the disciples, they were worried about him, about his death, and said this to Jesus. He said, if you had been here, this would have never happened. Over and over, people approach Jesus, the one with the lunatic son, and says, I brought this son my son, to your disciples. Now, Peter, James, and John and Jesus were on the mount. But God had given them, Christ had given them the ability to do these things and to cast out demons. And why does Christ cry here? Why does he cry at Lazarus' house with Martha and Mary? Because of their unbelief. He had claimed and truly was the resurrection and the life. And people were saying, look, you need to do things our way. No, we need to do things God's way. That's what makes Christ cry. He loves us so much that he went to the cross. He loves us so much that he took his sin on us. He covered us with his blood, and he just wants us to believe. He just wants us to follow. He just wants us to walk in the light. See, like Jesus, he saw their tears and shed his own. You know, in the book of Jude, it says, on some, having compassion, making a difference. Are you making a difference in people's lives? That's what it's all about. You know, these were people that had great spiritual needs. You know, Paul went to Ephesus from Athens. And when he was down in Athens, he said that the whole city was what? Totally given to idolatry. And he goes, everywhere he goes in Greece and in the old Greek empire, he finds this following of these mythical gods and the idolatry there. And we know that Ephesus was, everybody knew that Ephesus had the temple of Diana in it. And so they had great spiritual needs, but the sad part about it is they didn't know it. They thought they were all right following their own gods. But folks, we need to tell them we have the truth. You know, Christ in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, and it said, when he saw the multitudes, folks, let's get in our mind the multitudes that need to get saved. There's multitudes in Africa that need to be saved. There's multitudes in Europe that need to be saved. There's multitudes in Asia that need to be saved. There's multitudes in Australia that need to be saved. There's multitudes in South America that need to be saved. And I'm so happy that you all partner with all the missionaries in it. But you know something? There's multitudes right out here.
Right.
And when we have a mayor that curses the city with the name of God, there's multitudes that are lost. They need the truth. And folks, he says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted and were what? Scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, the world would be a whole lot better off if people just come to Jesus.
Amen.
They're going to figure it out. And Jesus is coming back. He's going to do it. We're going to do it voluntarily, or we're going to do it his way. I'd rather do it voluntarily, right? That's how you get more glory to God. Every time, if you go and you look through the New Testament, every time he heals a blind man or a lame man or someone that had demons, he had compassion on the man. Folks, there's people out there that need spiritual healing. Do you have compassion? Do you have enough compassion to do something about it? See, Paul had tender vision because he talked about having many tears that he served with them. And he was moved by the needs of the people. You know, we get these, when these missionaries come in, they show their heart. And they show their desire to serve. That ought to stir your heart. That ought to stir your heart and say, yeah. And just like Isaiah, even send me. Send me. See, Paul remembered his compassion for this place in particular. He was there for about 3 years because there was a great and effectual door opened to him. He had compassion for those that were in bondage. See, they were in the bondage of idolatry. If you go back one chapter, it talks about his ministry in Ephesus. And the first thing was, is that when people got saved, what did they do? They went out and they burned all their stuff. They burned all their witchcraft books. They burned all their sorcery books because they were totally bound by sorcery. They were totally bound by Satan. And they burned this, and it talks about the price. The price was 50,000 pieces of silver. But then this dude by the name of Demetrius, who was a silversmith, says, oh man, these people are turning to God. They try to cancel out Paul and all these other people and say, everybody knows in the world that Ephesus is the home of the Greek goddess Diana. And we make our living off of a lie. Sounds like today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like today. And so there's a riot in the city. In Acts 18:28, it says, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Folks, we're being shouted out today.
Yeah.
We're being shouted out today.
Right.
It's time to shout from the rooftops.
Yes.
God's salvation. You know, I liked it when we had the sunrise service last week. We said, he's risen. Everybody shouted it out. And that people in the neighborhood behind us, they need to hear that. He's risen. He's risen. They were in bondage of unbridled passion. If you don't understand that, go read the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, not 4, but in 5 it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becometh what? Saints. See, they're out there fighting spiritual warfare. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, and what? It's where we wrestle not what? Against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish jesting, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. See, Paul had compassion on them. He remembered they were in bondage to idolatry. They were in bondage to unbridled lust. They were in bondage. They were in the bondage of anger and enslaving substances. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, goes on, he says this. It says, be not drunk with what? Wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And he's writing to the church. And folks, if the church is struggling with it, I guarantee you that it was out there in the world. Because
right.
If it was out there in the world, the church wouldn't be struggling with it. Folks, it's time to get the world out of the church.
Amen.
Time to get the world out of church and be a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And be holy and without what? Blemish. But folks, in order to see that, you got to have a tender vision. In order to do that, you got to look for the missing people. In order to do that, you need to go and you need to say, I want to make a difference in people's lives. Folks, it's time to make a difference in people's lives. You got to get involved. I'm so thankful that Paul got involved. You know, if Paul hadn't done this ministry, we may not be here tonight. Think about that. We may not be here tonight. So, Paul had tender vision. Paul reminded these elders of his pardon, of his passion for souls. In verse 24, if you go down a couple more verses, it says, but none of these things move me. None of these things get him off target. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish what? My course. This morning we talked about every one of us has a race to run. We're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily beset us. We're supposed to be what? Looking forward. Looking ahead. You know, Paul says to the Philippians, he says, I press to the mark of the high calling of Christ. See, that's because we're washed in the blood. See, we're washed in the blood to be loved. We're washed in the blood to be lifted up. We're washed in the blood to be exalted and to look ahead. And to look ahead. He says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of what? The gospel of the grace of God. Everything we do in ministry in this church should testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Whatever we decide to do, even the nursery can do that. Even the nursery can do that. So Paul had tender vision. Paul had targeted vision. He knew exactly where he was looking. And he knew where to look and how to look and why he needed to look. He went from in verse 20, it says he went publicly and house to house. See, his ministry had been one of continual outreach. What does continual mean? All the time. See, God wants us to pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In all things give thanks. All things do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. He was just not satisfied with holding services. Folks, we need to start praying for altar calls. We need to start praying for people to start reacting to the message. Not just to get here and be like the ones that just soak it in. That's what the Galatians were doing. We need to do that. He was just not satisfied just holding. His strategy was based on the Great Commission. Now, just so to remind you, this is what Christ told his disciples. We're his disciples. This is what Christ is telling us. First of all, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We need to understand that we serve the God of all power. So nothing's too hard for us. With God, nothing is what? Impossible. He's going to give us everything we need for what? Life and godliness. Because God, Christ has given us, has all that power, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, then verse 19 says what? Go ye therefore. Because Christ has given us the power to do it, we need to go it. I guarantee you, when it's too hot in your house, you go to the air condition, you go to the thermostat and you turn it to cold. When it's too cold in your house, you go to the thing and you change it to heat and you turn it on. And you're hoping that there's power there. We found out you can't trust a man, right? He's given us all power. So he tells us where to go. He wants us to turn on the light switch. Adjust the thermostat and get hot for him. And get hot for him. He says, go ye therefore and what? Teach how many nations? All nations. Well, I guarantee you've never said anything about Christ. You're not doing this. You're not just doing this commandment. It's not happening. It's not happening. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, because that's God. It's all about God. It's all for God. It's all to God. Teaching them to what? Observe all things whatsoever I command you to do. Which means this. If we're supposed to go out as a church and teach people what to do for God, we need to do it too. We need to do it too. How can we teach what we don't know? How can we teach truth when we don't follow the truth? Because it means nothing to us. See, we need to all things whatsoever I commanded you. You know, you all have these red letter Bibles. Most of you do. Read those words in red. Those are Jesus' words. We're supposed to do that. He said, all the things that have been commanded you, and lo, I am what? With you all. Not only do we have the omnipotent God going to give us the power to do it. We have the omnipresent God that's going to be wherever we are, there He is. And then we have the omniscient God that's going to give us all knowledge that we can share that with other people. Folks, it's time to get plugged into God. It's time to kick on the thermostat and get hot for Him. He says, even unto the what? End of the world. Not the ends of the world, but the end of the church age. The end of time. God's going to be here. We said last week, we talked about where is Christ? Not. He's everywhere. He's everywhere except in hell. Because the Bible says He will not suffer His Holy One to what? See corruption. But people in hell saw Him. So His ministry had been one of continual outreach. His public preaching centered on salvation. You know, if Paul came in here tonight, I think the very first words would be, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. Where are the evangelists? Where are all those people that visitation? Where's all those things anymore? Gone. Gone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for Christ sent me not to what? Baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. You don't have to be a theologian to share the gospel. You just have to be willing and be saved yourself. Not with wisdom and words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. See, Paul had tarred a vision. He went publicly and from house to house, and he gave them an example. He modeled behavior so other people would see it. Folks, we're supposed to model this behavior so our kids see it, so our neighbors see it, so our co-workers see it. His ministry had been one of continual outreach. His public preaching centered on salvation. Paul had, not only did he have targeted vision, but he also had total vision. Because in verse 21, he says, testifying to what? Both the Jews and also to the Greeks. Paul's passion for souls allowed him no prejudice. See, it's easy if you only have one message. That message is universal. We don't have a message for here in church and a message for out there. It's the same message. It's the same message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him what? Crucified. That's it. Folks, before you go make friends, you gotta ask them if they're saved. Before you two boys start dating, okay, you need to ask if that girl is saved and then tell them about Jesus. Or you, Lydia, or you, Leah. Okay? When we get in a relationship with someone, that other side is, we're not supposed to be what? Unequally yoked together. Mia, also. Aha. We're all supposed to do that. He wanted nothing. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He gave the good news of salvation by faith to all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 19, or chapter 9 verse 17, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. And then here is Paul's outlook. And tonight I would like to challenge you of this outlook. This is what made Paul the effective missionary that he was. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. He had to do it. He had a tender vision. He cried tears for those who would not believe. He went back into towns of people stoned him. It didn't matter if there was a riot. He still loved them. Folks, that's the mind of Christ. And we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. He says, "For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Folks, for everyone in here saved, someone had to make the effort to tell you about Christ. We need to tell others about Christ ourselves. See, he wanted to be free from the blood of all people. Now, you might think that that's a selfish thing. However, in the Old Testament, God set prophets on the wall. And he says, "You're my watchman." And he says, if you see the sword coming, if you see the enemy coming, and you don't say something about it, his blood, their blood is going to be on your hands. See, Paul had plenty of blood on his hands. And he didn't want any of that anymore. God had changed him from being a murderer of the church to a magnifier of the church. Basically, was raising the church up. And he says this. He says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." And all the elders in the church at Ephesus had to agree with him because they saw his life. Folks, this is the way we need to live. Necessity is laid on me that we need to share the gospel. If we miss an opportunity, it would be such heartache to us that we would try to make an effort to go back and talk to that person. Do we do that today? I don't think so. Because if we could reach the entire world in 2 months, if people just told others about Christ, and they told somebody of Christ. So I collect that penny. Add a penny every day. Just keep on doubling it. By the end of the month, you're a millionaire. Just go a couple more days and you're in the billions. Folks, it's possible. With God, these things are what? Possible. The issue is, it's the same reason that the disciples couldn't cast out the demon out of the lunatic son. Because of their unbelief. The same reason that Peter couldn't walk on